Yes.
But, oh, your so, husband lived in
yeah,
Washington?
Just, yeah, he moved down from.
Guess who's
it's
Bob's
Adolf Adolf Adolf
next one.
It's
next one.
Nothing else. I'm punctual. We don't have an agenda because this was very last minute, and as you guys know, it was an emergency meeting given everything that's happened. But can we please stand for the pledge?
Yeah.
If nothing else, we can do that. Pledge. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you, guys. We do have two new Windsor board members who are joining us straight into the fire. Lori Hamilton and Dave Robbins. Thank you guys for joining. I am going to go around and do roll for those who are new. If you guys, for the folks that are new, if we could just like wave so people know who's who. Carla, grab a chair. There's a chair right here. I am here. So Catherine McGinn, I am here. Chris Bober.
Here.
Herla Idonacy.
Here.
Rich Pelletier.
Here.
Paul Plater.
Present.
Linda.
Here.
Kathy Atkins.
Here.
Cameo.
Here.
Karen Belanger.
Here.
Aaron Mills.
Here.
Cindy.
Here. Stoes.
Yeah.
He weren't too sure about that.
And then Lori and Dave. All right. So this is going to be very informal in terms of how we usually have our meetings. Bob and I have been in close contact since probably Wednesday or Thursday on the moving parts and pieces through COVID-19. I met with Bob and Patty Thursday afternoon. And I sent a communication out to the board, which was then followed up with a connect ed to all staff and family members in the district. Friday, another follow-up communication. Chromebooks were sent home with students. Saturday, we talked, sent another follow-up communication. And then Sunday morning, we talked. Linda and I talked. We had talked about having a follow-up meeting after the Hillsborough Deering meeting tomorrow evening. And the things have been so fluid and moving so fast. Bob and I talked around lunchtime before the governor went on, and it was decided that we needed to pull us all together, if nothing else, to share information. Please remember that this is a very, very fluid environment right now. So this is an information sharing meeting only. We are hearing the information as we got it from the governor. I think Bob and Patty probably had a 30-minute, 40-minute heads up in terms of the information coming down. So we are probably not going to have all of the answers today. But they do have some updates for us in terms of what has been done thus far. I think they've spent a good chunk of the day in the office working on plans. Staff's coming in tomorrow. So I'm going to turn it over to Bob and or Patty to just share some information as to what's going on. And please remember, we're not going to have all the answers, so please be patient and flexible.
Okay, good afternoon, everybody. The first thing I would like to do is thank a particularly great group of people that I've had the pleasure of working with the last 2 weeks on something that, as Catherine said, it's been very fluid. I have a fantastic team. We assembled a group on relatively short notice of building principals, etc., and they've worked tirelessly over the last several days to try to make a plan to make sure that everybody, first and foremost the children, are safe. And I want to thank them for showing up here on a Sunday afternoon, some of them who live nowhere near this place, one who's got a 15-year-old's birthday party that she's supposed to be running in a few minutes. I'd also like to thank the chief of the fire department and Scott Murdo, Kenny and Keith. Thank you very much for coming today. We will be working with the town side of this as this unfolds. There are many, many, many pieces to this. We have the student perspective, which, as you know, by itself is a very, very enormous span. We have kids from preschool all the way up to kids that are 18 years old. Their level of learning, what they can handle remotely, and what they can't handle remotely is just, it's an enormous spectrum. So last week, in an attempt to get ahead of the curve, we put in that we would be closing school for the children on Monday, which would give the teachers an entire day to brainstorm, to talk about what solutions would be, and what would be the most beneficial way to maintain some learning going on. No one has been unrealistic about the fact that it is not in any way, shape, or form going to mirror what we do when we have a captive audience where we have teachers and paras and support people face-to-face with kids. Nothing can take the place of that. 46 years in education, there is nothing more valuable than that relationship. A teacher can read if a kid's not having a good day without even talking to them. We're not going to have that luxury. So we're going to do our best to make as many what they call remote learning experiences possible. But we have to adapt that not only just to their age, but their grade, but their reading level and their math skill. And then we're expecting this to happen at home, where that's from here to here. You'll have families that this will be an enormous, enormous strain. We have children whose families rely on the school district through the grants program, the food programs for their breakfast and their lunch. And we have local community organization, churches and whatnot, that give food out on Friday afternoons to help our kids get through the weekend. We're aware of all of those things. So when I assembled the team, Michelle DuPont was also one of our key players right from the get-go, is how are we going to get the kids the food that they need. So we've got plans for that. We're also in the same boat with 78 other superintendents. Who are also trying to address the hundreds of things that we do in any one day. And it's not going to be perfect. And the week has been changing moment by moment. What seemed like a good idea on Thursday afternoon was a different concept that we were dealing with on Friday. And then today we had there's been a conference call every week between the Department of Ed Commissioner and the Department of Public Health. And there, obviously, with CDC, the Center for Disease Control, and the World Health Organization, we've been having a daily meeting with them on a conference call system every single day at 12 o'clock. Today, we got the notice that it was at 12 o'clock. We got that this morning. I think I got that at 8 o'clock this morning. Then I got one about 2 hours later that said, ignore that one. This is only for educational administrative personnel. I only wanted this to be for superintendents and assistant superintendents, because it was an hour before it was going to be the governor telling his version of what was going to happen. And they had allowed, in all good intentions, had allowed a very wide group of people to be part of their conferences. And then they shut down on Friday because their system couldn't handle it. They said they could handle 250 people, and I think there were probably more like 400 people trying to jump in on a conference call. The other dilemma that they face is when they disseminate information, everybody wants to be part of that, but we've got to be very cautious on what is the message. And one of the key things the administrative team has worked on here is being consistent from building to building and understanding that there's an enormous difference between a 10th grader and a 2nd grader. But there needs to be some commonalities. We're working on addressing personnel. We're working on professional development for paras and support for support people as to what they're going to do during this period of time. I know I'll take a little credit for it, but it was 99% Patty looking at what is the best use of all of the resources that we have right now. A lot of questions. We don't have answers to all of them. This morning, Patty and I were in here working on a template that we had borrowed from another district. What are going to be the frequently asked questions? Okay. Rather than having 50 people call us asking the same questions, our goal is to post that. What are the questions people are typically asking, and what are our answers? Not what somebody heard from somebody else that saw something on a web thing that somebody posted that was well-intended but didn't know what they were talking about. So we're fighting all of that. I have to say, I can't say enough positive about the responses that we've got. It's all been, we're all one big part of a community. We're in this together. Is there anything I can do? Thank you for your communications. And if they've had questions, they've called and said, God bless you. I don't envy you right now. I do have a personal issue with this virus, that it had to do this like the month after I said I was retiring. Seriously? What? Has it got a grudge against me? On another personal note, I'm so old that I go back to having my family be dramatically affected by the polio virus. In 1952, I was born, and it was a polio epidemic. And in 1953, Jonas Salk came up with the vaccine to prevent that. And as many of you know, the first 100 people he tested it on all got polio. It's 100% failure. He made it stronger, and the next 100 people all were immune. And he stopped with that vaccine. There are people right now in labs all across the country, 24 hours a day, trying to find a vaccine for this. It took years and years and years to develop that vaccine. My mother was pregnant that year. Should she take the vaccine? Should she not take the vaccine? She asked her doctor, should I take the vaccine? He said, I don't know. I don't know if there were any pregnant women that the vaccine was tested on. Okay, she didn't take the vaccine, and neither did Mrs. Lane. The two kids in Cambridge that were born with polio were my brother George and Johnny Lane, because they didn't take the vaccine. There will be a lot of uncertainty here. Yes, that was 2% of the kids who were born in Cambridge that year. But those two people were my brother and my family friend. So it is a very, very serious time, and it's a very scary time. But we will get through this. But the only way we'll get through it is to get through it together. I think we're off to a good start. I couldn't be more proud of the team. Catherine's been great. I've tried to keep her up to date on everything. I've kept my messages to three paragraphs or so when they go out. There's a part of me that wants to write 10 pages. I've seen some other superintendents do that. They are marvelously written things. But there's only so much people can handle at any one time. I know that the other departments in town are working this week on what's going to happen to the rest of the town. I don't know what workplaces will shut down. But right now, a lot of the decision for us has actually been made by the governor and by the president of the United States. So we will roll with that. The original plan, like I said, was Monday to have the teachers work on this in their groups, because they're the ones that are going to know best what kids need. They're going to know best what they can or cannot do, what's realistic and what's unrealistic. Our hope was Tuesday, when the kids came back, we could then work with the kids and explain through the teachers, this is how I want you to do this, Johnny. This is what my expectation is. And that was taken off the table today. So we're going to roll with it. It appeared to me, in what I heard from both Adelblue, our commissioner, and from the governor, was that no children are coming tomorrow until April 3rd, I think, is that Friday, basically 3 weeks out. Okay, that makes sense scientifically from what I can see. That makes a lot of sense because you're limiting the exposure. Okay, doesn't give us quite that time we'd all hoped for Tuesday. But he did say that we have a week to prepare for the remote learning. So I think that takes an awful lot of pressure off of the teachers, the administrators, the parents, to know that there's not some unrealistic expectation out there. So, short story. I guess that's my short story.
Okay. Ooh. Does anybody on the board have questions at the moment?
So are you saying that you're going to close?
We are closed.
Yes, the governor said no. What the governor said was no children.
Yes,
yeah,
so I was just going to ask.
Oh, okay.
Is it children and...
They were very specific in how they stated that.
Can come in.
That's correct.
Okay.
So does that mean this week the kids aren't going to be doing anything? It's like a week off for the kids this week where you guys prepare?
Yeah.
And the following week is when they start their remote education progress?
Well, we're going to be ahead of that, Rich, actually. I think we're going to be better prepared for that. We're going to have one day with the best teachers on the face of the earth that are going to work tomorrow, and I think that they'll be able to come up with some pretty meaningful learning experience. It's not going to be 7 hours of FaceTime. It's not going to be 7 hours on a Facebook. But it is going to be some meaningful experiences. And I'll give you one example. As a former biology teacher, I think they could read about the swine flu. They could read about the polio epidemic. They could read about the black plague. I mean, I could come up with three lessons that they could learn. Okay, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. They have their assignment. Go online, research it, find out about it, what caused it, what was the nature of it, and how did it get resolved. And that doesn't have to be hours and hours of sitting in front of the computer. That can be, it could be at 6 o'clock at night that they wish to do that. We did get lucky. I think it was a very wise decision collectively by the team on Friday to send the devices home because we didn't know what the president was going to say at 3 o'clock. And I mean, it's just kind of, you know, there's a comedy of errors that the president was coming on at 3 o'clock when all the schools in the country are closed. So it was kind of too late to do anything. So we saw that as the opportunity, okay, we got to make this decision now. And we made the decision, and devices went home, K to 12. Every single child has a device at home. We also have a tally of, we keep a record because we survey the kids on this information. How many of you have internet service at your home? We're really, really high, well up into the 90s of people that have access to internet. And we actually only had, Carol, correct me if I'm wrong, I think we only had 6 houses that reported they don't have internet access available to them. In other words, even if they wanted it in their house, it's not on their street or it's not on their, they'd have to do some sort of a satellite kind of thing. So I think we're in the high 90s of ability to log on. So I think, quite frankly, on Tuesday we'll be ready to begin, and we've got the whole week to test what's working and what's not. Basically, the commissioner is saying it's our expectation at the DOE level that remote learning will be in place effective not tomorrow but the next Monday. So that's really what the week is for the people. And I've talked to a dozen other superintendents over the last few days. What will wind up happening is some people will be at the starting point here. They're not blessed like me with the team I've got. They're in a different spot. Okay, and some of them are only just hitting the ground running. Everybody's a sharer. I got one from Bedford that was just, it was a really nice template. It may not answer all the questions we have. It may be different sets, but it's a nice starting point for us. And they wanted to share what they had done and their experiences. So,
two more, then I'll be done.
Two more.
Yeah. What about the staff? After Monday, are they going to be at home? Remoting in, or are they going to be building it off?
That's part of the plan that we're going to build this week. We got to look at the reality of it is that if there are kids that are going to get this, there are going to be parents that get it. And so to expect a faculty member to be here with their children at home, that's pretty unrealistic. So obviously we're going to be sensitive to that. We've always had a great working relationship with the teachers here. Snow days, when they need to bring their kids in, they do. Here I'm a little confused because it is bringing germs in and exposing. So I think I'm relying on, where is she? Heather Ann,
you hiding? She had to step out.
She had to step out, okay. Yeah. Heather Ann will be our lead nurse. We'll weigh in on what we should allow and what we shouldn't allow. Because a similar question comes up with the food handling of
that
kids.
About the kids that have free and reduced lunch, what about them?
Yeah, we're looking right now, and this is the tentative plan. We're looking right now at Monday, Wednesday, Friday, having a grab-and-go setup. And a grab-and-go setup is a parent pulls up, and they're handed a bag that has 2 days' worth of food in it. So on Monday, they'd get Monday and Tuesday. Tuesday, they'd get Tuesday and Wednesday. And Thursday, they'd get Thursday, and they'd probably have something for Friday as well. The government actually is doing a waiver right now that it's all-inclusive, that it won't be just for people who are in a free and reduced lunch program. During the summer, our program that we work, we've had a program with Conval for several years now through CAFE services, and they're also, we've got the waiver going through in the application from Conval already on our desk, that's open to anybody. That's not just open to free and reduced kids. Anybody who wants to come in and grab a lunch can grab a lunch. And we'll be doing the same thing. And I think 3 days a week will probably work, but if we need to make it 5, we'll make it 5. It's all going to depend on how we see it play out over the week. We also have, and this is, again, such a credit to the community, I've had so many people say things to me like, if you want me to deliver the lunches or you want me to deliver the Chromebooks, I'll gladly do that, Bob. It's overwhelming how wonderful the community has reacted to this, understanding that these are all our kids. So
nice.
We've got vans, but...
That in respect to just in respect to Washington. Is that offered to Washington?
Same thing.
Going to be down here?
We always include Washington in our food stuff. It has to file separately Michelle, do you want to...
Well, I filed together same thing as the National School Lunch Program, the Fresh Food and Vegetable Program. Altogether, the whole district.
But is your question around picking it up here or picking it up in Washington?
It was kind of both, but yes, I would like to know.
We'll make that happen.
Yeah, just so, because that is a hardship to come down.
Oh, no question.
That is
no,
a long distance.
No question. In the past, we used to get the fruit through Hillsborough, and then we drive it out to Washington.
Right. But just
and
being
so
sure
we'll
that
do the same thing.
Our students
they will.
Are aware.
Yeah.
All right.
Rich, did you get through your questions?
I got one more.
All right.
You only got
two. That's three.
You can wait. Let's let Paul.
So a couple of people asked me about the spring vacation end of April. Was that canceled or?
The spring vacation, the travel? Or the vacation?
The vacation itself.
Yeah, the vacation right now is on hold. I mean, we have to, we could say yes or no today, and then it could change next week. I have to be perfectly honest with you. The scientific perspective of this, having been a biology teacher, this has basically a two-week cycle in it. And if somebody gets infected on the 14th day of the donor person, sure. The two-week cycle starts over again, and then they get in touch with somebody on the 14th day of theirs. I honestly, my personal opinion, this is just an opinion, is I think we're looking at more like 3 2-week cycles happening, Paul. That's just my former biology teacher perspective. I mean, and that puts us definitely into the April vacation, so how do we count that? So,
do we tell the parents, cancel your plane trip?
Well, we already kind of...
They might do that for us.
Yeah, we already have done that with the school trips, Paul. Yeah. There was a high school trip that was planned for Switzerland. There was a high school trip through the music department that was New York. There's a high school trip that was to Nashville. And all of those plans were ex-nayed. That was a decision I had to make very early on. It's not a popular decision, but I know darn well it's the right one. We actually taught about kids that are going outside the district, not just on a trip, but we also have kids that go to Concord Voc Tech.
Sure.
And so what are we going to do with the Concord Voc Tech kids? Well, we made the decision. We've got our little community that we know we have no cases of this right now. Why on earth would we send our kids out to somewhere where they could be exposed to it? So it is kind of a circle the wagons approach and hunker down and make sure our kids stay in the place where we know at this point they're about as safe as they can be. Again, it's limited numbers. We're talking 11 people in the state out of how many thousands of people. Five of them, from what I've been reading, are absolutely travel related. They came back from somewhere outside of the country or outside of the state. So the Department of Public Health knows every single person that has been confirmed. They know where they live, and they've interviewed them as to where have you been for the last 2 weeks? Who have you come in contact with?
Yeah. I guess the basic question is, if we go back to school after 2 weeks or 3 weeks, when that week comes, the end of April...
Do they get another week off?
Are they going to get another week off?
I wish I had an answer. That's okay. going to have to fall into the category of I don't know.
Okay.
As far as us ending the school year, the final day of school, because that's been another popular question, is... We're at this point still going to do the same formula that we always do for snow days. In the past, we've defaulted to how many hours. And again, my team was tasked with another assignment to do that prematurely, to do that now. Carol downloads a form that we have to do routinely when we figure out the last day of school. I have the principals all calculate the number of minutes that they spent, and the high school is supposed to be 990 minutes of contact time. And at the middle school, the elementary, it's a little bit lower. They take those numbers that the state requires, and we calculate how many hours we have and how many days we fulfilled with those hours, and we see if we meet the minimum hour standards. We'll be doing the same thing this year, but at this point, it will only just be the snow days like we always calculate. But we did have five.
But the 180-day requirement has been raised.
The 180-day requirement is still in effect. The way it's staying in effect is that the commissioner, Frank Edelblum, went before the Board of Education for the state of New Hampshire and requested that they relax the rules on what's called remote learning.
Okay.
Years ago, people started a whole program called the lunch bags, the blizzard bags. And the blizzard bags failed in a lot of places because of the requirement of that statute that allowed it. And that statute required that 80% of the children must have participated and completed the assignments that were in the blizzard bag. And a whole lot of places weren't able to say those kids touched those bags. And it's a great idea, but 80% in this case, we've got to be realistic. We might have parents that are sick, and while the kids are at home, there's not going to be the support to get that done. So each of those days, one of the things that you're supposed to do when you have remote learning is attendance. And with attendance, there are a variety of ways to do it. How do I do attendance? To see if you're at home? All right, so how do we fulfill that one? They're not here. We know they're not here. We told them they couldn't be here. So on this one, the best way to do it is we're going to have the parents notify us when they're unable to complete the assignment. And that way, we'll be able to track how successful we're being with this. Another thing that we'll be looking at, quite honestly, is we're going to track the food. Because you know what? This could happen 3 years from now. You could have another epidemic of an entirely different sort, but on the same line. And we might want to say, you know what? We learned from our mistakes in this one, so we're going to try to document everything we do to say, okay, the first week we did this, Michelle's ladies gave out 500 lunches. Okay, and the following week they gave out 600 and then it went to whatever. Or did it go the other way? Did it go 500, 400, 300, 200? So I think that this is also a learning opportunity for the new superintendent in case she gets an epidemic next year. Her timing is impeccable, isn't it? Other questions?
Yeah, the decision for the students has already been made, but now I'm thinking in terms of the staff. From what you said earlier, it sounds like we may have the staff in here, but you weren't sure. Whose decision is that? Is that made at the local level, like Hillsborough-Deering would decide on what we're expecting the Hillsborough-Deering teachers to do? Is it an SAU decision, or does it come down from higher authorities?
Oh, now that counts as four questions.
It does.
Because that was four questions. Very good. You did it all pretty much in one sentence. Okay. So the answer to one of that is, yes, this could come from above. They're not going to rule out the governor. Is going to has authority to say this is what we want you to do. Okay, the president is going to say what he wants us to do. The commissioner works for the Board of Education. He's going to have some authority for what you're going to do. We have contracts with teachers. We have contracts with support personnel. We have contracts with buses. We have contracts with all kinds of people. We're going to need to address those. Honestly, right now, if there's a snow day, people get paid. It's not their fault that they can't work.
I'm not suggesting that we don't pay them,
right.
But I know a lot of companies, my company included, is letting us work from home for 3 weeks. We're going to continue to get paid without a question. I know companies that are also locking their employees out so they can't even go into work, that they have to work from home. Because, I mean, we're responsible for the kids, but we're also responsible for the teachers, the parents, and everybody else. So my question is that, if we haven't made that decision, should we make that decision to say after Monday or Tuesday the staff will be working from home and they can remote in? That's in for their health and their family's health.
I agree. We need to do a day. I don't know what day that's going to be.
Okay.
That decision has to be made. It may be that we're able to just run our schools. There may be people that prefer to come into work. But we may hear, where's Heather Ann? We may hear from the Department of Public Health, we don't want them coming in. We may hear from the Department of Public Health, well, if they're in the building and there are no kids in there and they've been working together as a team of 40 teachers in any particular building, the exposure's already happened. Okay, so they may take the approach of, well, let people come in. The next level does become, for me, the concern for both teachers and children is whether or not that's a safe thing to bring other children from other districts into a district and be exposed to the teachers here. So that's a two-way street also. So they're all complicated decisions, and we're going to have to rely a lot on the Department of Public Health. In a perfect world, what I would like to see is teachers have the option to either work within the building. Once we get past like a week of this, because the week's just going to create all sorts of new situations as it evolves, I would like to see us by the end of the week be able to say, there are people that can work very easily from home and accomplish what we need to do the remote learning. There may be people that would prefer to be here if they have five children at home.
Oh, that's true. what concerns me is that I don't think under any circumstances should we allow kids in the building, even if it's the teacher's kids. I mean, I don't think that
was my question.
My wife goes to this class, this exercise class, and she says, I says, oh, go, this was last Monday. Oh, go ahead. I mean, this is just people from Hillsborough that are there. Well, it turns out somebody had driven up from New York City. There was somebody else that was on the West Coast a few days earlier. So you just don't know. So on the sake of caution, I would think that we would want to limit the exposure as much as we could and have the teachers, if they can, work from home and allow them that flexibility.
I think that's coming. That's absolutely coming. The question is going to be, where do we set the boundaries? And that's going to have to evolve, okay? And the way that we looked at this is we looked at it as concentric circles, okay? How far out are you going to control who's coming in and who's going out? Well, the president said, nobody can come in from Europe. You guys just can't come here anymore, okay? At least for the time being. And then our governor is trying to narrow down what we're doing, and our schools are trying to narrow down. So right now, the circle we're trying to maintain is the Hillsborough, Deering, Washington, Windsor circle. Okay, and when you go outside the circle, it is a different risk. The question becomes, how high a risk? Heather Ann LeBeer, the lead nurse, is there, and she and I have been going back and forth on emails and texts over the weekend. That's a hard decision, because we want to support the teachers. If they have their children are at home, then I would like to be able to see them work from home. If they want to come in because they have access to all these resources and whatnot, I want that to happen. When it comes time to make that decision, hard line, we're going to make it. But right now, we're going to get through tomorrow.
And follow up on Rich's question with students and staff, and you may not know the answer to this, but just to put it out there, with special education students, it presents a whole different dynamic, I imagine, okay, with IEPs and services that have to be delivered.
A lot of discussion on that from the get-go. There are a variety of things, because when people hear IEP or they hear of learning disabled children, student services covers an enormously broad category of children. We have children that have physical therapy that they get here. And those children, if they don't get their physical therapy, they may regress. So the Department of Public Health is working on what's okay to allow to happen. And should we provide the opportunity for the healthcare provider to come in and give a child with cerebral palsy their physical therapy that they may need? What do we do if Bob Hassett, the biology teacher, says, I want you to read Albert Einstein's biography, which I all recommend to everybody. It's a great read. You should read it. High school kids should read that book. But now what if your child is a child that struggles with reading? Is Albert Einstein's biography on an audio tape? Is there an audio book that has that? Well, we have paras that read to kids all the time. We could have paras that could be reading these to the kids. So there will be some special needs that we're creative, and I've got unbelievable special ed people that will come up with a real good plan. Others are going to be tough because there's services that are hard to provide,
right,
except one-on-one. I don't know if Patty, if you want to talk to that at all, because she's been working her tail off on trying to figure that stuff out.
Well, we've received guidance from the government as well as our own attorney on what to do for students with individual education plans. One of the pieces, the far extreme, and it was even stated, I believe, today in the governor from the commissioner, that there is the possibility, at least at this time, if we had a student that there was no way to meet their needs remotely, that the need, they could come in and still get serviced here. We are really hoping that through the next couple days, as all the staff is working on putting together their plans, our paraeducators are a very critical component to the success of our students and supporting the teachers and the students. And so the principals are going to be working to help work with the teachers, and the paras will be there to figure out how can they still support the students remotely, looking at what the teacher might have for a plan, and as normal, what they would do, except they would do it here, how do they support it? So are they going to, and I'm just throwing this out because the decisions have not been made, is it, they do have Chromebooks, if they're at home, could they log on, maybe it's through email, maybe it's a phone call. They have supported the students, they're in a really good position to know how to support them as well, based upon where the teacher, what they are doing for their instruction. Additionally, we do have the related service providers. We have already, there is a link, and I cannot remember the name of it, that so they could be providing the services face-to-face remotely. And Neil, our IT, has already approved this as through the privacy. We're set to go. That may work for some students. So we are going to have to look at the whole continuum as well And I'm very thankful that we aren't going to have to do this in one day, because there are a lot of questions to figure out so that we can do this well, because it does look like it is an extended period of time. We don't know when the end is, and we want to be able to have the teachers have the time and the staff to all work together. And even that, how are the staff going to work together above and beyond? But I know everybody had, they're great with all their technology. These guys have it, but they need time to plan. That's important. So I think we're closely monitoring. As Bob has says, the guidance on everything is changing. So is it on special ed. So we are monitoring this, and we're all going to try to stay on top of it. It's access. That is the rule. That's just for the free and appropriate education. Is the students have to have access, and our staff takes that seriously.
One of the questions that people asked is, well, who will be here in the building to answer the phone? Because someone's going to call and say, hey, what's going on? Do I send my kid or whatever? Most people communicate electronically, but we're still going to have people in the building, and it would be my hope and my guess, as long as the governor or the Department of Ed commissioner or the president tells me otherwise. I think in these scenarios and in emergencies in the past, I know there was an ice storm here that it was terrible, but the community pulled together and got through it. I would like to see some sort of a skeleton crew in the building, manning the building as long as we are allowed to. And what I envision that as being someone who will be able to handle calls, who will be able to handle, I got to call and speak to a human being. We need to have people that are going to put people's minds at ease. And our secretaries are really good at that, because we get plenty of calls of my kid didn't get off the bus, or he left his book bag or his glasses or his whatever. They deal with those all the time. But I think that it would be important, and this is going to part of what's going to be discussions tomorrow, there should be a school psychologist available for children that are getting support services. There should be, it's our expectation that there will be nursing facilities available throughout this. And I just as a short example, this is something a lot of people don't think of, is a lot of our kids take medicine. Where's the medicine? It's here in the building. They're home for 3 weeks. They got to get their medicine. They got to come in and get it. Somebody's got to make those arrangements and make sure that their child has the medicine they need for this week. The governor made that decision for us today. They're not going to get it here, so Heather Ann and the other two school nurses are going to have to go through and contact every person who takes medicine for asthma or ADD or diabetes or any other medical support that they have. The nurses are going to be working on that tomorrow to make sure that the medical needs are taken care of. So,
a question on the buses.
Yeah.
Our contract, I thought, used to say if we had 4 or 5 snow days, they would add the buses at the end of the year if we made them up. Do we have anything like that in the contract?
Well, unfortunately, Jean is away on a vacation, and I would defer that one to her, because the problem that I see with the bus situation is we've been on an extended bus contract now for a while, and I'd have to pull it out, and it kind of took the back burner to the other stuff, that because Jean wasn't here on Friday either. So, but we'll look at that. I had a call yesterday from Herbie. Herbie is the regional manager who we deal with. And he said, let me know what you need, Bob. We'll be there to help you. Yeah. So I'm not anticipating any problems on their end. I'm sure they want to pay their people as well. So that may come up as a topic at some point. But as far as the details of the contract and how they add up any missed runs or whatever, they typically, if they didn't make a run, they don't deduct it out at the end of the year, to the best of my knowledge. But I'd rather have Jean answer that with certainty.
Any other questions?
You mentioned on the document that you mentioned you have that you're borrowing.
I have about 10 of them, but yeah.
Yeah, on the, on the FAQ. Yeah. I'm assuming, but I figured just mention that and ask the question, that there's something in there as far as students who, that 10% that doesn't have internet access, and then in addition to that, those students, high school students, know how to use their Chromebooks, middle school students, and probably most elementary school students, but those that maybe haven't had to get their email and use a Chromebook very early.
What I'm seeing, and I've already seen it in town here, that the library has internet access, the problem's going to be you got to go there, but that's something that I can't speak to for them at this point. I will tell you that we are absolutely bombarded, way more than usual, with educational resource supply places. Some of them are offering apps for free. Some of them are offering internet services for free. I think that I saw one posted outside of coming from us that there's a 1-800 number or something to call it. If you don't have service, they'll work with you. A lot of people understand that they can do things with their phone, using their phone as a hotspot. Again, that's something that's going to evolve. Yeah. The number of people volunteering to help is pretty amazing. The resources that people are coming up with. So
I was just thinking, just having that information the document. I mean, I think Comcast has that 800 number for 2 months internet access for low income.
I had a friend once that owned a laundromat here in town, and he used to have people come down to the parking lot because he had internet access in the laundromat. And they used to sit outside the laundromat. There were these three people sitting in their cars with their computers. And they were just logging on. So I'm sure, come hook or crook, we'll get people on the internet. But thank you. And again, if you have a thought, you have a suggestion, it may be something we didn't think of. And you know, we put a great group of minds together the other day, and but we'll make mistakes. None of this is going to be pretty.
SATs, seniors are going to be interested.
Great question. The DOE didn't know the answer the other day when we asked them that, but that's okay. We didn't have an answer on the state-assigned testing either. At this point, SATs will continue at the schedule that they're on. I don't know how that's going to happen if this gets extended another few weeks. Jim O'Rourke's already got, you know, he's worried about that, and what are we going to do? Because at the high school level, that's the state assessment. So, I mean, I think there's been a pretty collegial effort on SATs, DOE, but everybody's coming from a different picture of the same problem.
I imagine as we get closer to April 3rd, we'll probably have more updates in terms of whether or not they're going to extend it for that next 2 weeks, and then we can sort of address some of those.
Today, the announcements came an hour or two apart, and each notice that I got changed the direction that we were going. So some of this is going to be what they call seat of your pants, and that's where I can't thank Catherine enough. She's been right there. I've called her and said this is where we're at, and
I've been very good at email.
Somebody else had any
Laura,
questions?
Did you have a question?
I kind of wanted to go back and visit buses and food, and as you're talking about grab and goes, I'm also knowing that actually physically getting down here from Windsor, Deering, things like that, or even if parents have to be gone and kids are alone to fend for themselves, has anyone discussed using the bus routes as drop places?
That's been the plan.
For food?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep,
not just grab and go.
We're going to do the grab and go as our starting point, but the bus company already offered to.
Great.
They're on board with it. They said they do whatever we want. The bus stops were one of our first lines of defense. Okay. Does it mean some people might get a free lunch? Yeah, but that's okay. If they need to get a free lunch off the bus, that's okay too. We'll help them.
If they need it, they need it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we do, Michelle goes through this. It's federal lunch money, so she does have to keep records, but they're going to relax those, in my opinion. And they've already got waivers, and they're being flexible. So, I mean, it's going to have a very dramatic effect outside of just the school perspective. I don't know how the businesses in town that may decide to shut down. I'm sure the two chiefs up back are going to have to deal with that this week with the town administrator.
Yeah, we meet on Wednesday at 2:00, all department heads, and see where we go from there. As far as Osram, we had a meeting on Friday, and any salary personnel that can work from home, that's what they're doing.
Yeah.
I tried, but they weren't.
My daughter is an attorney for a construction company. She's off until May. They said working home until May. So there'll be some businesses that'll be able to go on, but I think that there are some businesses that are hands-on that are going to be very hard.
What else you
guys? Yeah, I mentioned that as far as the food and the busing, we're ready to commit and move forward with that right away, even if we don't hear back on the details of the waiver, because I've heard that.
Yeah, that's out there too. That's the beautiful part of this setup. I know it's hard because it's when it's one person, but the board has always treated it that you're not in the know of what's happening in the buildings. Those decisions have to be made by the person in charge. And some people won't have to make those for 3 months or something, but this is one of those times that it will be me that will be having to make those on the spot. And just encourage people if they feel they weren't part of the original decision, there's no intent and there should be no hard feelings. We're all in this together. We all get wounded egos. If you got an idea, call us. And if you got a question, call us. And if we can give you the answer, we're going to give you the answer. If it's a HIPAA or a FERPA question, well, we probably can't tell you about anybody else's health. I can't imagine working for the Department of Public Health right now because they know who all those people are. They know where they live. They know the towns they live in. They know who their next-door neighbors are. I wouldn't want to be an HIPAA. I'd have everybody in the world a gossiper wanting to know, hey, I saw the truck there the other day. So as bad as our problems are on the medical end, I think it's going to be pretty scary over the next few months.
So moving forward, I'm going to continue the same chain of command that we've done before. So if there's anything that needs to get communicated out to the board, instead of pulling us all back together, if it's just information sharing, I'll try and do that through email unless you guys really want to come together every other day or every other hour, because that's literally how much the information is changing. I know Bob will do connect eds to families and staff, so I don't have that an issue with that, but I'll try and give you guys a heads up as much as necessary. Linda and I had talked. We did not call an emergency meeting prior to this because Bob was acts on our behalf every day. He was acting on our behalf, and we didn't feel the need to pull that at this point in time. But given that the governor made those changes, we thought if nothing else, it would need to be an information sharing session, which is why I pulled you guys together. So any other questions at this point in time? Motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Any abstain? Can I just grab Hillsborough Deering real quick, please? Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
$530,985. I can't say enough that I support this. These people probably don't get the recognition that others do in the school, but they deserve every penny. And I guess I'll take any questions.